Welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks are falling into darkness. The Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Ghostbusters, radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Ladies and gentlemen, the last couple of days we've been listening to a Bible teacher, Dr. Jacob Prass, and he's been teaching us about the days of Lot. And just as soon as you think that you know everything there is to know on that subject, boy, you still see that there is still so much that you don't know that we need to know. And that's how I always feel whenever I listen to Jacob Prass. Just his knowledge on the scriptures and how he's able to see what's happening in the culture and tie that to scripture. It's amazing. And so we do apologize for the quality of the tape. He's there at this church, and they have just wooden floors and what have you. And so the acoustic is not that good in that building there. The content of what he's saying is good. So get close to your radio and listen as Jacob Prass talks about the days of Lot.
More educated people become, you know, education. Not subordinated to the Word of God will cause someone to deify themselves. You look at the founders of science. It doesn't matter. Blaise Pascal, Louis Pasteur, Isaac Newton. They were all theists, even Einstein. Although he had the Spinoza view of God, he knew there was one. Next generation? No, we're God. With biogenetic engineering, we're going to be able to control evolution. We're going to be able to take over from Darwinism, eugenics, the deification of man. God gives them over. When you see this community of people becoming more assertive, more aggressive, more demanding, they don't understand the reason they're doing it is because God has given them over to it. When God gives someone over, they come under the influence of what's known in the New Testament as a spirit of error. The Holy Spirit does not convict them of sin. God has forfeited that in judgment to a spirit of error. He makes them believe the lie. Now, there are other places in Scripture this happens. Remember, God put the lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab's prophets, Micaiah, and in 2 Thessalonians 2, the Antichrist, for this reason the Lord will send a delusion. It's not only about this issue, there's other issues, other sins, other things in Scripture where God does it, but we're talking about this right now. The reason you see these people accepting it as normal, and they think it's normal, is because God's given them over. But if you read Romans 1, it says something even more frightening. Three times God has given them over in Romans 1. to those who practice them. When you see these politicians, parliamentarians, people like Pelosi in America and Biden and Obama, and take your pick in Great Britain, when you see them standing up for the so-called gay agenda, they are as condemned as those who practice what they sanction. You're just as guilty. God gives them over. Can you imagine what happens? We sin, we get convicted by the Holy Spirit. Somebody gets born again and they've been convicted of their sin by the Holy Spirit. That they're really saved. God says, I'm not convicting you. The gauges don't work. But here's the keys to the car. Get in. They can have no destination but hell. Now God is merciful. Some do get saved, but not many. God understands that they came from childhood or family backgrounds and they had been dysfunctional or maloriented or something like this that predisposed them to it. But having alcoholic parents doesn't mean you have to become an alcoholic. You may be predisposed to it, but you still make your own choices ultimately. Well, it's the same with sexuality. How do we talk to these people when they yell homophobe and say we're guilty of hate speech and hate crimes? Before I was a Christian, I smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day and a lot of marijuana, hashish, cannabis, and tobacco. Not to boast about my sin, but that's what I did. I went and scooped up the cocaine or took coke, shot cocaine, whatever. The cocaine would broaden your capacity for more cannabis. It's just absolute. He who commits sin is slave to sin. That's it. I was a slave, Jesus set me free. Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed, but I was a slave then. Okay. So, 2 packs a day. How can you say to somebody who smokes cigarettes, I hate you because you're a smoker? Well, you can say, God loves you. And he wants to set you free of that nicotine addiction that's killing you. I don't hate you because you smoke. I hate the smoke that's killing you. So someone is coughing and coughing and coughing. Maybe even spitting up blood. And they go for a chest x-ray. I'm sorry to tell you this, but you're suffering from pulmonary carcinoma. You're dead. This seems to be inoperable. You're dead. These cigarettes have nearly killed you. Oh, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not, it's reality. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not, it is reality. Yeah. It is the x-ray of the human heart. Now suppose the smoker with COPD emphysemic and pulmonary carcinoma. I mean, they're dead in trouble. You say to them, you know, over at the Royal Marsden in London, or at Sloan Kettering in New York, there's an oncologist who, through a radical procedure, might be able to save your life. It's got a valve. Major surgery. It's going to involve isotope therapy, chemo, but this guy's good. They'd be on the next plane to London. They'd be on the next plane to New York, and they would quit smoking if they had any sense. Well, the good physician can deliver somebody from homosexuality and lesbianism. What I say to them, when I meet them, a witness to them, is my faith teaches me I have to love people. I have to love people who smoke cigarettes. Because I love that person smoking cigarettes, I hate the nicotine. I hate the tobacco. I used to smoke myself. I hate what's killing that smoker. I love you. Jesus died for your sin the same as he died for mine. You're made in God's image and likeness the same as I am. And because God loves you, he wants me to love you and tell you the truth. This is going to kill you. Hell is a real place. You're in a car, speeding down the motorway with no working gauges. But God gives them over. This is what the first century church faced. And this is what we are facing. Marty, how much longer can I go?
10 minutes.
I can only go 10 more minutes?
You go with your mind.
The rescue of Lot. Turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. God says of Abraham, verse 19 of chapter 18, I've chosen him. And then in verse 20, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great. Their sin is exceedingly grave. I'll go down now and see if they've done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me. If not, I will know. Then the men turned, these two angelic beings appearing as men. And they went towards Sodom while Abraham was still standing before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, wilt thou indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? And here we know Abraham, of course, was the first Jew. Only a Jew would dare have the audacity to negotiate with God. If I find 50! Couldn't find 50. But what if I find 40? Can't find 40. What if I find 10? Oh, he tries to get God down. Finally, you wind up with what in Judaism is known as a minyan, 10. You cannot have a Jewish prayer service without 10 bar mitzvah Jewish males. You can't take the Torah scrolls out of the cabinet without 10. It's the minimum. It's based on this. But there was not even a minyan. The sins of sexual perversion and unnatural sexuality became so prolific that most people went along with it. Couldn't even get 10. Society is becoming that way, isn't it? You're finding churches saying it's all right. You're finding people who profess to be evangelical saying born again, going with this agenda. Not even in Mignon. The two angels. Notice they appear as men, as we looked at last night. Come to Sodom in the evening. I've been here many times. It's near a place today called Ein Bokeh on the Dead Sea. It's the lowest place geographically on the face of the earth. Below sea level. The lowest terrestrial surface on the face of the earth is where this is. The geologists have found flinders and chips of stone that have been burned, but there's no volcanoes nearby. And it is a huge, huge basin. When you go on the hills above. We don't know where Sodom and Gomorrah are. Some say it was under the Dead Sea. Some say on the Jordanian side. We don't know, but we know where Ramat Zohar, where Lot escaped to, is. I've stood on it many times. And you look down and you see this whole huge place. Somewhere down there. It began as a green place because when there was a dispute between the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Abraham, Abraham said, you go take the good land you want. You go there now and it's completely barren. There's nothing green virtually. There's salt tablets and chunks of salt along the sea and things like this, but nothing green. Nothing can biologically live in the water. The saline content, too much sodium in it. No irrigation. So these two angelic beings come in. Now to this day in the Bedouin culture, this exists. You are responsible for the safety and welfare of sojourners who you welcome into your tent or home. It would be unthinkable to let anything happen to them because of the desert climate and habitat. Your survival would depend on someone showing you hospitality. I mean survival. So therefore, you must show hospitality to other people. The Bedouins are still like this. It's amazing. They said, no, we'll spend the night in the square. And yeah, we'll find the Holiday Inn. No, no, stay with me. He knew they were from God. Yet he urged them strongly in verse 3. So they turned aside and entered his house. And he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread and they ate. Now the unleavened bread has a paschal association from 1 Corinthians 5, I won't explain it now. I refer you to our teachings on 1 Corinthians 5. But before they lay down, notice these men who are angels took human form and functioned like men. They ate, they slept. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all people from every quarter, and they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out here that we may have relations with them. But Lot went out to the doorway and shut the door after him. Now that phrase, shut the door after him, you see the same thing with Noah, don't you? When the Lord shuts, no man opens. And a time will come and the door will shut. But he went out and said, please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Notice he appeals to them as his brothers, as his fellow citizens. People today talk about being seeker-friendly. Friendship evangelism. Well, I believe in lifestyle evangelism. I believe in befriending unsaved people, invite them over for coffee, share your faith, build a relationship with them to tell them the gospel. I agree with that. But they're not your brothers. They're not your sisters. I hope they get saved and become our brothers and sisters. But they're not what we are, and we are not what they are. When the church makes friends with the world, the church has lost its power. Please, my brothers, don't act wickedly. Now behold, I have two daughters who have not had relations with men. Let me bring them out to you. Do whatever you like. Of course, you knew that they didn't like girls. Notice, it was not about tolerance. It was about homosexual gang rape. Militant homosexuality is going to become like that before the Lord comes. Violent gangs, demanding, going after whoever. Little boys. Now, my mother's family's religion done it all. This has always gone on in Roman Catholicism and in Irish Catholicism. It's always gone on secretly. You know, the Irish Christian brothers and the things they would do this to do. This has gone on secretly. This kind of thing has always gone on secretly. But it comes out into the open, okay? One time in the Republic of Ireland, the homosexual or a lesbian, they had to enter the convent or the priesthood. You'd be in an all male environment, you'd put on vestments, the amulet, the alb, the cincture, the stole, the maniple, and the chasuble. In an all male environment, they get dressed up in this frocks and everything like that, and you get access to children. That is what homosexuals used to have to do in Ireland. Lesbians the same. The girly ones, the more feminine ones, would be Sister Mary Elizabeth. The more masculinized lesbians would become Sister Michael Patrick. This stuff, I'm just being honest about it. This stuff has always gone on in Irish Catholicism. If you're from the Irish Catholic community, you know what I'm talking about. Because of my fellow New Yorker, Eamon De Valera, this was always suppressed and kept out of the media, but it's what went on. Now, it's all out of the closet, isn't it? You don't have to hide it with religion anymore. That's why religious vocations in part have gone down on it. You don't see any priests graduating Maynooth anymore. I mean, they can just be out what they are. Again, I'm not trying to offend people, I'm just telling you the truth. If you're from a Catholic background, you know I'm telling you the truth. It comes out. They demand it. I'm not talking about a boys' home or a boys' school or a convent school or Magdalene Laundry. It always went on there in Ireland. But now it's just going to be socially open. Gangs. And it goes on. He tries to get out of it. He said, stand aside in verse 9. Furthermore, they said, this one came in as an alien, and already he's acting like a judge. Now we'll treat you worse than them. So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break the door. Whoa. They're trying to get into the church, you understand? And they are incriminating Christians. There was a pastor in Canada fined $15,000 in the western provinces of Canada, and this was 10 years ago, for reading Romans chapter 1, and they made a complaint. Now, that stuff happens all the time. wants. You must sanction what we want. Biologically, they can't have their own children, so they demand other people's. You understand? They cannot have children. They're still X and Y, even though they say they're not X and Y, and expect you to believe that I'm X and Y, but they can't have beings. So they demand other people's. Again, this has always gone on in the convents and stuff like this in Ireland, but something now open now. Well, let's look. They came in as an alien. Oh, my brothers, no, you're an alien. God is going to use persecution and opposition to make it clear it's us and them. The saved and the unsaved. This freaky seeker-friendly, seeker-sensitive stuff. No, it is us and them. But let's look. We'll treat you worse than them. But the men reached out their hands, the angels, and brought one into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were in the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves trying to find the doorway. The physical blindness with which they were struck is emblematic of the spiritual blindness. Remember, God gives them over. They can't see what's wrong with it. They can't see what's perverted about it. They can no longer see what's natural, unnatural about it. God has given them over. It's become natural to them. They are blind. The people in this community and those who go along with it are blind. But look at the physical blindness. You take a person, a heterosexual person, if they lose their eyesight, they would say, quick, get me an ophthalmologist, drive me up to the Royal Ulster. This gang was so possessed, so animated, so driven by an unnatural passion. By an unnatural passion. Having lost their eyesight, they're still trying to break into the house and grab them for perverted pleasures. I don't care if it was Marilyn Monroe. No heterosexual male who loses his eyesight would be interested in her. If he lost his eyesight, she wouldn't be their priority. He'd want an ophthalmologist quick. I don't care if it was Clark Gable. No heterosexual woman would be so driven by a passion for a man that if she lost her eyesight, he would be her priority. You have to be blind to have that kind of convoluted priorities. And they're blind. Can you imagine an unnatural passion, an unnatural one, can so possess and drive people that they lose their eyesight and they're still trying to gratify an unnatural lust? That is how demonic the spirit on the back of this stuff is.
All right, we're going to have to stop the tape right there today. But that was Joseph Jacob Pratt, and he was talking about the days of Lot. And this is where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. We're in the last days because we are living in the days just like Lot. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long. We're in your corner right here on Ghostbusters.